This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Stella loved to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
I am in a good-ass mood because you're listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race podcast in the whole world, and I had to, and I'm Mono Gapian. I am so glad you're like at the only place we talk about Drag Race on the whole internet. I'm incredibly honored to have today's guest. What a fucking treat. I mean, GLAAD board member, ACLU trans ambassador, Broadway diva, actress, musician, songwriter, mother of the House of Dual Set. This resume is truly blowing this piece of paper up because it is too fucking long. We have the amazing Peppermint.
Hi, Mono. Hi, everyone.
Hi, gorgeous. What is up?
Oh, so many things, and simultaneously not enough.
Isn't that it? Isn't that so funny? It's crazy. I know, it's like I love being over busy. And then when you're over busy, you're like, okay, I'm gonna complain now.
Exactly.
Well, while we have you, I mean, I would be remiss if we didn't like talk about the ways we can activate our listeners with, you know, the transphobia and homophobia that's happening right now in states like Tennessee and the whole country. How can we activate ourselves?
I think people should educate themselves first and understand that there are these attacks that are happening. Obviously, within the drag community, we've seen that. And they may be surprised to discover with a little bit of research that these attacks are also happening against the trans community and also the LGBTQ community at large. They've also attacked marriage equality, which we thought was like solid. And if you do a little bit more research, you'd find out that the same people who are literally writing these laws, the same pen is used to write the very strict voter ID laws that are only being implemented in many Black communities, and you know, limiting access, removing Black history essentially from schools, targeting Black history and calling it critical race theory, which is a college level only, a graduate level course. But they're saying that like children learning about Martin Luther King is critical race theory, so let's cancel it. And so it's the same people with the same pen writing the same laws, but just changing out the target or the victim. And so once they know that, then, you know, they can get a little bit more education. I would tell people that they should follow outlets like GLAAD and the ACLU, particularly Chase Strangio, who is an attorney. He happens to be a trans man, and I'd say the most genius person when it comes to the anti-drag, anti-trans laws that are being passed. And the other thing that people can do is, you know, just understand and just know that, you know, empathy is really going to get you a long way. Think of how you would want to be treated in these situations and understand that drag queens and trans people and everybody, we are who we say we are, and that it's very natural to be an LGBTQ person. I believe that if you're gay, if you're queer, if you're trans, you were born that way. And certainly once you come into your own, that is who you are. And so there's no separating transness or what this, you know, recent word transgenderism from the identity of a trans person. And there's no, just the same way there's no separating, you know, homosexuality from a gay person or heterosexuality from a straight person. You know, if we said we want to eradicate heterosexualism from the world and public life entirely, what does that mean? That you know?
I mean, so there's only so many Dane Cook specials we can delete from the internet.
I mean, true. Hello.
It is so stupid. And I know it's like, it's redundant because everyone listening knows this, but it's like, it's just such a funny way to deny people access to fundamental rights like food and shelter and healthcare, to be like, it's people in dresses. It's really pathetic. And I hope more people, well, we really have to wake up, whether it, and I will say, like, whether you identify on a gender spectrum or not, this is time for queer identifying men to stand up and support our differently gendered queer family.
You know, it's true, because unfortunately, it's very important. Like, there's a rally happening in New York City today that's speaking out on behalf of, you know, the drag community, which is so important. And it's a vulnerable community, not because drag entertainers are weak, but it's vulnerable because no one was thinking that we'd be, you know, legislated, our drag shows would be legislated and potentially banned and sort of micromanaged in this way and criminalized, something that's so joyous. But by the same token, unfortunately, while everyone's down at the drag only rally, I'm not saying that rally is only drag, but while everyone is focused on drag in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and 100 slots of their mind, they are literally criminalizing, you know, transgender healthcare. And mm-hmm. and at first they were saying they wanted to remove healthcare protections for trans youth, but now they've said, actually, while we're at it, let's get all the adults too. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of people that are paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. In the same regard that, you know, I think even these LGBTQ issues are really a unfortunate distraction, because you can't erase it. Like, it's impossible. Like, you can pass any law you want, I'm still sitting right in front of your face. And I'm going in the women's room. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. if you put me in jail, it is what it is. But unfortunately, there are like really cementing this so-called Jim Crow 2.0 that we were talking about several months ago when it comes to voting rights and redistricting and all of these things that really limit folks' ability to vote and have one vote per person, or each person be properly represented in the voting system. And so they're doing that just in time so that come the next few elections, the primaries and local and state elections leading up to, of course, the general election in 2024 for president, you know, it's going to be much easier for them to continue to take, shut us out of having sort of our voices heard in our country. And so, yeah, there's a lot of jobs to do. But the good news is these things are, it's not good, but the good news is we can recognize that these things are all intertwined. You know, you're not going to find a misogynist who isn't closely related to white supremacy. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find a racist who if you really look at their treatment of women and queer people, you're not going to find some staunch racist who's really, really, you know, progressive about women's rights and LGBTQ rights.
There isn't a racist who's like, I want you to have health care, you know?
It's all related, unfortunately, because white supremacy needs misogyny, and misogyny needs the patriarchy, and the patriarchy needs homophobia and transphobia in order to thrive, because they are basically the same thing, but just with a different brand. You know, it's if you go back through a particular children's book writer who's very much a trans exclusionary radical feminist, a self-described feminist who is anti-trans, basically. If you go through that children's book author, who, you know, who tweets about these things incessantly, you're not going to find her talking about, Black Lives Matter in a favorable way. You're not going to find her advocating on the rights of Black women at
all. This monster makes Voldemort, a monster of her creation, look tame. Yeah. It's fucked.
That's my soapbox.
I fucking love your soapbox. I feel like it's really a time to be activated. Unfortunately, we need to educate ourselves and support each other and be loud and really use the resources, which we will put in the podcast description. So let's take this opportunity to not just talk about Drag Race, but talk about our queer community that's being attacked because... yeah, we have to. And did you see that old bag of flour bastard, Lieutenant Governor McNally, liking on these posts of a very queer identifying male? And now he's trying to like hide behind it. Someone who like passed a lot of like anti-queer legislation, and then he didn't realize everyone could see his comments. And he's been writing on this little thoughts pictures like, love what you do. You brighten my day. And now he's trying to backpedal around that. It's just more of the same bullshit, you know?
I did see it. It was a surprise. I do gag every single time. Gag every single time I look at these people, but also gag every single time I hear about... I mean, first of all, I was shocked to discover that on Twitter, if I liked a particular post, that it would like... share that with my entire followership.
Yeah,
and so like, you
know, I'll be scrolling
and I'll just be looking and admiring.
You can't like the Rocco Steel pics no more, Peppermint.
I can't like them. Because my mom's like, why is there dick on my thing? I'm like, mom.
But there's some where you're like, to me, that's one where it's like, yeah, of course I like that. Like there's some where you're like, of course I like that, but I don't need everyone to know like I like the like bathroom glory hole one. You know what I mean?
It's listen,
like,
the Republican governors are just in time to remind us of, listen, I can't even say just the Republican governors. Politicians in general are just in time to remind us of their hypocrisy. So I'm not shocked because oftentimes the people who are the loudest and the most, you know, vocal about wanting to uphold certain types of discrimination are oftentimes the people who are engaging in the very behavior that they're chastising publicly. And so, unfortunately, this person quite literally outed himself in a way. And so I think he's going to have a lot to answer for, but hopefully, you know, I love fellow drag impresario, Lady Bunny. She and I have a spicy relationship. I won't say spicy. A heated relationship from time to time.
Uh-huh.
Because while we share so many things and Bunny is a progressive, I do, you know... I follow her account and she is very quick to...
I follow her too.
Point the gun or not the gun. We can't use hyperbole or these examples anymore.
Uh-huh.
To point the finger at Democratic policies and politicians, which are very much deserving of scrutiny. However, I believe that she fails to point the finger at, you know, the most she'll say is all politicians are bad. But unfortunately, you know, in a day and age right now, like, you know, we can't, it's important that we criticize them equally. But my point is
it's like
that
living in a house and you're like, this wall's bad, let's knock them all down. And you're like, but girl,
exactly,
we need to live in the house still.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have this two-party system and it is what it is. Yes, there are, you know, there's problems with the American political system and the money that goes into it for sure. But anyway, was quite a gag and I'm not surprised. It reminds me of the 90s, you know, when we were, when politicians were attacking just the gays left and right and then like getting caught in an airport with their pants down, like literally with their pants
down in an
airport.
Yeah, with the foot tapping.
Yeah, exactly. Doing Morse. And they're like, I was just doing Morse code. I was practicing. No, you weren't, my baby. No, you
weren't.
What
were you Morse coding for? More TP? Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. No, it doesn't happen. Also, kudos to Nico. Don't know who he is, but he's viral today because of his really direct questioning of Glenn Youngkin, governor of, don't even know. And
Virginia?
You know,
is that motherfucker in Virginia?
Virginia. That's right. And, you know, challenging his anti-trans policies, specifically bathroom and sports access policies that are, you know, to gendered spaces, traditionally gendered spaces, saying that trans folks should be excluded from those spaces. But then, unfortunately, that doesn't really acknowledge the existence of trans men and trans masculine people. And so Nico quite brilliantly posed a question that the governor did not answer. Surprise, surprise. But it's important that we acknowledge trans men. And if we're going to acknowledge drag queens, we have to acknowledge drag kings and non-binary drag entertainers, drag royalty monarchs as well.
These
and
motherfuckers,
so I think that's important to do.
These legislators are like, they're dodging more questions than a father on the Maury Povich show. I mean, they're
darling, you are the father.
Yeah.
Pay that child support.
No, but what about when you went to Maine? Like, they are just, they're not listening to the facts in front of them. Maybe they're like the pickle girl. Maybe they're like the girl who's afraid of pickles. They're running away from the truth or something.
Well, they are. They're running away from any type of accountability, because if you have to have a specific standpoint or a very strong stance on something, then eventually you are going to have to go on record and we can really deal with the truth there. But the quicker we get to the truth and the quicker we clear the air, the quicker we'll see all the things that they're doing that they're not talking about. And so they want to keep looking over there. Thank you, Jade Essence. Looking over there. And they just keep changing their positions and being slippery so that we're constantly in a state of confusion, because with chaos and confusion means that they can do all the backroom deals and get all the money and all the things that, and have sex with all the everybody that they're, you know,
right?
Trying to
lady
chastise
bugs.
In public. Yeah.
That
they can do all that stuff,
motherfucker.
Honey.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's impossible. There's too much information on social media, and it makes these motherfuckers, it makes them easier for them to slip through the cracks of, wait, what? What happened? Oh, wait, look, there's a new story. There's another piece of shit, homophobic Republican person,
exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So, how are you enjoying Drag Race, Peppermint?
I am enjoying it. I mean, I'm a Drag Race fan. I'm a Drag Race fan that doesn't watch a lot of Drag Race because it is, there's, I'm overwhelmed.
It's a lot,
you know, to be honest. But I do, I usually do watch at least the primary for me is the season, like the whatever the original season in the United States is.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching season 15, of course, but like trying to watch, you know, it's like, it's a small world.
It's so much.
You know, like the Disney ride, you know.
It really
and you're
is.
Like,
it is wild. And now it's like every week. It's like Belgium and Sweden are happening right now. Can't do it. God bless.
Darling.
Love them.
Darling.
Thank you for spreading the queer gospel, but I can't do it right now. I got to backlog it. I got a lot in my to-do list. But I am enjoying the season. I love the talent. I love the girls. How'd you feel about this whole long versus short episode, Conflama?
Listen, I think we need more drag. So I'm here for anybody advocating in favor of needing more drag. And it also really does call into question why they make the decisions they make with regards to not only editing, but also the length of time of the show and and also the time slot of the show. And, you know, I would say this is a huge victory for the Drag Race fandom. If I weren't alive 5 years ago when no one was speaking up and complaining about the fact that Drag Race episodes on Logo went from over an hour to just 40 minutes when we, season 9, moved over to VH1. And there were several episodes where our runway, they didn't even show video of our runway. It was literally a screenshot or a snapshot.
That is
still.
So, I remember that. That is so wild.
They didn't even show video. So, like
the naughty, maybe the naughty 90s one where it was just like, here you go. Naughty
it was like snapshot,
here we go.
Click, click. They didn't even show us walking down the runway. And so, you know, I'm glad that apparently it wasn't, I don't really know how much power the fandom had, you know?
Sure.
They did speak out and the message was heard, but like, you know, I don't really know how they make those decisions, but I do think it just goes to show, if you're going to put the drag show on, put the whole damn drag show on.
Yeah.
You know?
We do. We want to meet these people. We don't get enough access to queer people. Also, just being queer people, like Sasha Colby's talking about, like, how cool is it I get to be a happy trans woman on TV? Like, let's give them some time to do that instead of, like, just giving us the sob story highlights.
Exactly. And, you know, while we're at it, let's go back and re-edit season 9 to an hour and a half and show everything that we offered. Because people were really dragging us for not being catty enough and not having enough drama and being too friendly with each other. And we were the most boring season ever. That's what we were hearing while we were on.
I loved your season so fucking much. But you hear, of course, people complain about everything. But what was something that was cut that you couldn't believe? Was like, oh, damn, I can't believe they didn't put that in.
I mean, there were so many things that were cut. I don't have specifics at this point, but I mean, besides our runways, you know, like the runways were very, very short. And obviously as the season went on and there was less and less girls, they were able to show more of those types of things. A lot of conversations were sort of, you know, really, really truncated. You know, the whole conversation with, where I sort of came out to the girls in the room was much longer. And I wasn't the only person that was like disclosing that they were, you know, queer or differently gendered, I guess we would say, in that room that day. You know, a lot of other girls came out, you know, sort of, you know, it to one degree or another. And it was a really emotional and very long conversation. And then also, you know, some of the other like really sweet moments, you know, like Trinity was really they really focused on Trinity's sort of cutthroatness and competitiveness on season 9. But she was like the most magnanimous person. And I think that came through later on All Stars and people saw her later on.
Yeah.
But in our season, she was always the first one done. And she was always the first one to go around and offer, you know, she did my hair like 4 times.
Wow.
You know, and so it'd be great if they would show a little bit more of some of those things, but.
Right. You know. Well, as the only non-crowned season 9 finalist, will you ever go back to the show?
Well, it's not my choice. I mean, I don't think I like could crash the party. They'd have to invite me back. And they have. And I was, you know, I wasn't able to do it the time that they asked me to go. I mean, it's incredibly expensive, especially these days, pay for all the stuff to go and get everything ready. And I was living out a dream. I was breaking boundaries on Broadway.
Yeah.
And I had to choose between that. Yeah. And doing All Stars. And I was also in a contract. So like I would have gotten sued or something had I just quit.
And you chose right for so many reasons, reasons. And I mean, if the show will be there
And if they ask me back, great. I'd love to consider going back again. And if they don't, then I'm still really happy that I was able to live my dream.
It must be hard because you're also balancing it with Call Me Mother, which is like also like you're a host now too.
Yeah, well, I'm not actually a host. I'm a judge on the show.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I mean it's all confusing, but I feel like a host for sure on there. But we have a really great host, so I can't take fill his shoes right. But the show is fantastic. I really do love one of the things I love about Drag Race is that it clearly paved the way for a lot of other drag reality competition shows to exist. Dragula, you know, Drag Den with Manila, and then of course Call Me Mother, which is on Out TV, and we are hopefully we'll get a third season. We just finished season 2, and you know, the show really, I know a lot of people probably haven't seen it because it was originally a Canadian show and Canadian network. You know, it focuses on the whole drag family aspect of it. That stuff I was talking about with Trinity, it, you know, it's that kind of stuff. How, you know, yes, we love the drag entertainer who comes out in this fabulous outfit, but what did it really take to put that outfit together? And then our show really focuses on that because we have an entire team of, you could call them a glam squad, but we have seamstresses and costume designers and hairstylists, wig stylists and wig masters that work with the girls and the drag entertainers. It's not just girls, the kings, queens, and monarchs to come up with and design a look that's going to work best for each challenge. And you get to see them sort of working. And so this sort of drag community and drag economy that exists in the real life, in the real world, as a result of Drag Race, there are stylists and makeup artists. And yes, most drag entertainers are self-sufficient and we can do these things on our own, but it's so much better when we can actually do it with somebody who specializes in hair or makeup or costuming. And so when that's how, like, for the Violet Tchotchke's beautiful dress for her crowning, you know, with those roaches or whatever it was on her. She didn't do that alone, you know? And so to see the work that gets put into that kind of stuff is really interesting and another sort of thing, another facet of the drag life that we can look at. And so Call Me Mother shows all those things and offers all of it.
It's on OutTV. So I hope that people will come back and watch. Anywhere you internet. Okay, so we're going to get into this episode, but first, silence, Peppermint.
Silence!
I feel like taking a break. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Cat break.
Give me a break and bring back my break. We are here with icon Miss Peppermint. Peppermint, hey. Hi. Let's talk. We're back in. We just unfortunately said goodbye to the very legendary Malaysia Baby Doll Fox last week on that very, very confusing interview challenge that to me felt like a trap to these contestants.
It was definitely a trap and a setup, but I mean, that's what Drag Race does. They have these situations, and they do happen in real life. I mean, one of the things, especially the media sort of challenges that they do, I actually do like the fact that they have these media challenges, these interview challenges that can be kind of dicey for the contestants. And
you were interviewing on the red carpet, that is really iconic and funny because I you see how much effort you have to put in to get people to come to you and turn on, and you don't know what they're going to give you.
It gets really, there's a lot of, it can be like a three ring circus. And when I was on at the MTV Awards with Monet, they were in our ears and they were telling us something, but we couldn't hear them. And then there's somebody coming up to you that you're supposed to like act like you like know who they are, and you're like looking in their eyes, but you're trying to figure out who they are, and you're like, you're thinking, it's like, it is a three ring circus. So I was really happy to see the gals be put through this, because, you know, if they're going to, this is one, a good way to kind of kickstart them into succeeding beyond just a drag competition show. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but in order to have these opportunities, you kind of have to be in these positions. And we did the same exact thing. But one of the things people don't necessarily realize, you know, I mean, based on my experience in season 9, we did an interview challenge as well. And my team interviewed Naya Rivera, rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And we were filming a TV show where we did the morning news and interviewed our person. And so there was a camera there and they were filming us interview, but there was also a camera filming the camera. So there were two directors and there was like a director that we were communicating with that was like saying action and go and start the interview. But then there was a director directing that director to direct.
That it
was like
is a
too
trick.
Much going on.
That's and a so trick.
Like, we were confused when to start, and this person would yell action and that person would yell cut at the same time.
That is a trick. That is a setup.
It was a setup. It's a setup.
They got you, girl.
Just like he says on Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's a trap. Yeah. It is a trap. And they got you, gal. That's how they get you.
But you get to see folks really excel, like, you know, Sasha. I mean, she did a great job. And playing with Charo. I mean, you know, like that seems like a really fun interview.
Can you believe how relaxed Miss Sasha Colby is on this dang season of Drag Race? She is cool as a cucumber. Yes.
That is the difference. If we can just sort of compare or parallel the vibe and our perceived sort of level of that of confidence that the performers have between Sasha and the twins.
Right.
You know, that goes to show you that is not just, it's not, yes, you're fierce. Yes, you're beautiful. Yes, your outfits are lovely. All of those things are necessary. But one of the things you just can't buy or get from, you know, the internet is the sense
from
of confidence
Dolls Kill.
That you gain from being a performer in real life.
You can't.
Drag clubs and shows for 10, 20 years.
Sorry, you can't order it on Etsy. You can't get it on Dolls Kill. You can't get it on Amazon.
What's Dolls Kill?
Am I misquoting it? It's just like, it's
I don't
like
know. You might not be.
It is just a drag queen website where it's like, need a, but I think it's not, it's below your level, Peppermint. It's like,
okay,
you know
I was
what I mean?
Excited.
It's like the drag queen version of, let's say, H&M. Wish. Very that.
Got it.
So we're in. They're voguing the house down with our contestants in their quick drag. This was fun.
Oh my gosh. It was all the mini challenges, I think, are just all they're usually the most fun, I think, the mini challenges. Because then the you know, sort of the maxi challenges always end up becoming stressful and people are fighting and who's going to pick what. And so they're always arguing over those things. But the mini challenges, you know, like they're really fun and good fun. And seeing the girls vogue and like kind of almost fall and,
they're
you know.
They're falling.
Yeah, it was interesting. But then again,
Selena's falling.
Sasha. Yes. Sasha
having a blast.
And yeah,
Anitra.
Anitra, like, I gagged. I was like, oh, yes, this is what it is about.
Where do you stand on the noging controversy? The noging?
I was just about to to bring that
weigh
up.
In.
You know, listen, I'm going to stand back and listen. I mean, I do think that there is a connection between ballroom and drag. And I do think, you know, there are probably some really professional and really fierce drag entertainers that would look at some of the drag categories that are happening in ballroom and criticize those just as equally. Mm-hmm. But I do think that ballroom is, we haven't really reconciled with how to mainstream ballroom just yet. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to sort of, you know, there's always so much imitation that goes and that happens when we mainstream things. And, you know, there for every ballroom legend who can school us on the history of ballroom and the culture and really knowing all of those things. There is a drag entertainer who can say, look, bitch, you can't just, like you said, order it from Amazon and expect to be a diva in a day. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it goes all the way around. But I do think, I think it would be really difficult for them to, like, they were not about to bring in some ballroom expert for this mini challenge. You know what I mean? Like, no. That just wasn't about to happen.
They wouldn't even bring a comedian in. I mean, well, okay, we'll talk about that. I mean, even when they have a comedian talking about their jokes, I feel like they're not coached to give them the best advice.
No, they're like, not. They're coached to criticize them on air.
Yeah. They don't want you to, they don't want everyone to succeed. Then it won't be easy to decide who goes home. Yeah. Well, they're having a good time. Everyone's dancing about. I don't want to say voguing in trouble. Everyone's having a blast. And I love a mini challenge. Do mini challenges count as wins, Peppermint? Set it straight.
I saw that with Selena. Was it Selena or was it?
I think Lucy. Lucy.
It was Lucy. Yeah. No, they don't count as wins because the wins are the. They do count as wins, but they don't count as full wins. They count as mini wins.
They're mini wins. Yes.
You know, if you won the challenge, she says the winner is, but what you get and the recognition that you get from that challenge. In the world of reality, they've done away with the mini challenge actually in all reality, not just Rackers.
Yes.
They've done away with mini challenges actually benefiting you. In the past, mini challenges were the way to win like either immunity or some yes. other advantage in the maxi yes. challenge. But they've yeah. changed that and sort of gotten rid of that. And so they don't stand on their own as a full win. They stand on their own as, you know, sort of being able to get some prizes or get some extra money.
Which is nice. I mean, that's funny too. I mean, you were a season that was, you were the first VH1 season.
Just we to won see, like, no money. Yeah, we were the first VH1 season.
Right,
we won no
but
money.
The money wasn't there
no
yet.
Money. Only for the final, thing
or burgers they gave you wrong, burgers sometimes
the, yeah it would be burgers a website I got a $500 gift certificate to a website to Squarespace or something but they thought
did you use
it's
it?
Free
yeah it's free
so unless, like what I was like what kind of scam is this
I got
scammed, honey.
You got scammed. You got tricked. You need to call the Better Business Ruyo.
Honey,
you need to call.
You know what they cut out of our season?
What?
When we won Squatty Potties.
Shut up.
On our seat. We won Squatty Potties. We didn't win them. We were gifted Squatty Potties for doing the podcast. Also that never aired. What's the tea with Michelle and Rue. And we got Squatty Potties as sort of a gift or like a consolation, whatever, a gift. And when they gave me the Squatty Potty, I was like, are you serious? You're giving me this toilet thing? And they cut it out. Dude, it's like, I was like, what?
Oh, no thanks. How am I going to pack this? How?
I was like, what am I doing? What? I don't, what?
Also, like, yeah, mail it to me. Wait, did they not mail them to you? If you're at least mail it to me.
They probably did mail it to me. Yeah, I don't even remember. But I didn't want it.
You didn't want it.
I don't want some piece of wood thing, like, by the toilet.
I gotta say, I have one though. I have a Squatty Potty and I like it. I'm just putting that out there. I do like it.
I also live in New York and, like, you know, this is precious real estate. I'm lucky
right.
if there's a toilet. I can't be putting like cumbersome step things in front of the bath and the toilet or in front of anything. You're going to trip and break your neck.
It is another thing to clean.
It's another thing to clean. Put your feet up on something. Yeah.
So we're talking, they're giving advice, you know, again, I'm not going to get, let's talk the challenge itself, because in the challenge itself, I just couldn't help. Okay. When they were giving them advice, I couldn't help, but because I'm a little bit of a comedy nerd, and I was like, oh, I couldn't help but be like, oh, there's a better note there. There's a better way to help them. There's a better way to be like, that idea is funny. It needs a stronger setup or something like that. And
yeah, they didn't really talk too much structure, which is very important when you're talking about comedy. And to be fair, half or more than half the things that they discussed obviously didn't make it to air. So they may have actually given some straightforward advice at one point or another that we just didn't see. And they, you know, I believe the tactic with Drag Race and any type of feedback is say something neutral, say something negative, and say something positive. And then they use it however they want. And so I think that's what they did. They're like, I hate your jokes, but it was extremely funny. It could be the funniest one of the day.
Right.
But it left me feeling all right. And then they'll edit it the way that they want.
Honestly, I'm really disappointed in how happy you made me. But... it's a stiff competition.
Exactly. Like, you might be in trouble. It's that.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just everyone was so good. I kind of love that one where it's like everyone was so good, but.
Everyone was not so good.
So we have Rue coming out on the main stage, giving us mini skirt. Gotta love.
I know. We never get to see Rue's legs like that. Rarely. Mm-hmm. It's rare.
I want to understand the wizardry I'm looking at, but it's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, it looks like, I'm not even going to say, like, I think there's a Gautier or maybe a Dior. I think it's Gautier, vintage Gautier that's coming back a lot. Icy Spicy is wearing it in a picture. Laverne Cox is actually about to do a photo journalism release within her closet, and it's similar to this dress from Rue, which is probably an original, maybe from Zaldi or someone, but it's the same kind of thing going on.
Yes, it's like sequin shingles. It's like cans. It's like can.
It
openers.
Looks like pop can.
Yeah,
pop, top,
it's giving pop, one a Fanta. Top. It literally looks like can pop top things. Is it bubbly?
Does.
Is it a fucking bubbly?
It's bubbly.
Co-sponsored dress. Fuck
it's bubbly.
Off. I'm gonna die.
I mean, it's genius. Zoom in if you can.
Okay, wait, I'll zoom in. It's bubbly. I don't know why. Just realized. It's little can topper toppers.
Why did she not say that? I'm sure they addressed it. I'm sure that someone acknowledged it and they just cut it out.
Yeah, probably. So let's talk Marsha with the setup of being even though, okay. Also, why do the duo comedy challenge when you have an odd number? Just do it when there's six or eight. That's my other
I don't
note.
Understand that. Was there a double elimination? There wasn't a double elimination.
No.
Like, I don't understand why, you know, they would have that.
I don't either.
Yeah, I would have not wanted to do the duo.
You would have rather done this. Well, you won this challenge. And you won the Rose challenge. So I mean,
this is the one and only challenge that I won on my
So you would have rather been solo and be like, I'll take care of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. I don't wanna, I mean, because then not that I'm not a team player, but then you have to, you know, the comedy in this setting, you know, it's not like they get months to workshop a routine. It's like literally hours. And a lot of times it's while you're getting in track. And so you kind of have to just go with what you know and whatever strength and speed you have. Really, that's where how you're going to perform. You know, it's kind of like taking a test the night before and they're like, okay, whatever you got. Like there's nothing more that's going to happen. And so it's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's whatever you're bringing is what's happening because we're filming it essentially today. And I like Marsha's vibe, but again, I think just really stronger setups. It's like the funny ideas are there. There's some stronger setups that needed to be there and that easily could have been fixed because, again, also I don't know if they're showing us the whole story or not.
Well, the performance is what it was, but, you know, like, so she obviously chose the jokes or to perform them the way that they did, but Yeah, they're probably not. They're definitely not showing us the entire story.
Right.
And yeah, this is not a comedy challenge. This is a, we're going to make you think this is a comedy challenge while we confuse and overwhelm you to see how you perform with confusion and overwhelmingness. Uh-huh. Not actually doing comedy.
Right. That is so interesting. Yeah,
because I also feel like it's the same thing with Snatch Game. You know, yeah. Snatch Game is not about actually impersonating the person that you do, you know, uh-huh. that you choose. It's about making funny jokes that, you know, and not being thrown and sort of flummoxed
right.
by the whole situation. I noticed that I was confused by the fact that we were in a game within a game and a show within a show when we were doing that interview on mm-hmm. season 9. And then I realized that I was still not focusing on that aspect when we were doing Snatch Game and Valentina was sitting next to me. And the rules of Snatch Game are Rue goes around and asks you a question, you know, a whatever thing, and you're supposed to answer it in character and make her laugh. That's what you think is supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. That's not really what's supposed to happen. You know, Valentina was sitting next to me and Rue was like, okay, write down your answer on the card. Everybody write down their answers and then we'll go around and call it. And so I'm focused on what I'm writing on the card and the time. Oh, time's up. Put your pencil. Okay. I'm a good student. Time's up. Put my pencil down. And that's where I was.
Uh-huh.
When they said time's up, put your pencils down. That's when Valentina, sitting right next to me, would pick her pencil up and write, spend the whole time listening and writing whatever she wanted.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. then by the time Rue got to her, she figured out a way to make Rue laugh just based on what everyone else is doing. So I was focused on the game and she uh-huh. She was focused on the game outside of the game and
Isn't
she did
that
well.
Interesting.
That challenge.
It's like you have to get into, it's like getting into a fender bender and then getting out of the car to be the news reporter reporting on the fender bender.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's exactly. Wild. Okay, we're going to talk the rest of this comedy challenge, but first, silence! I feel like taking one more break. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3... I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
my break, we're here with the first duo of this hour. We've got Miss Lucy LaDuca and Lux Noir London. Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
I thought it was good. I thought it was, I actually think it had good bones. It was actually decently structured.
Yeah.
And that's why it did as well as it did, you know, no spoilers mm-hmm. just yet, but, I think it, you know, I think it did really well.
I mean, the two white setup is like, that's easy and refillable and funny.
And you have to go, unfortunately, you don't have to go. Fortunately, there are some really easy sort of, particularly positioned fruit on the tree. I won't call it low hanging.
Say it. So they went for some easy ass jokes, which is fine. It's a smart choice.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, that's what an easy joke is definitely going to get you an easy laugh. And it's a laugh is a laugh at the end of the day, right?
Right. And like so, Marsha went almost too cerebral, and you see how that served her.
Exactly. And so being able to talk about the whiteness and also in a way that's, that they can both acknowledge and isn't a criticism necessarily, or at mm-hmm. least not upfront of race in a particular way. You know, I think it was really smart of them to do, you know?
Yeah. They're punching up, which always is easier in comedy. Mm-hmm. We're making fun of power, exactly. But we're also doing it in like a totally banal way, like mayonnaise, white people love mayonnaise. That doesn't make you go, wait, can I laugh at that? It's like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Or like talking about the whiteness of teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we have the stoned pair, Miss Anitra and Sasha Colby. This one was harder, it felt like. And my opinion is lower energy characters are like to me an uphill battle in comedy. Like picking an apathetic character is like, that's already going to be harder.
For sure, because it ventures into the whole like, you know, intellectual side of comedy, because then it becomes about what you're not saying. It, mm-hmm. In order for it to be super funny, it has to have a sort of duality to it, which all comedy doesn't have to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me a lot of those two, Anna Gasteyer and
Molly SNL. Shannon. Molly Shannon.
Molly Shannon had this like really sweaty low balls. Energy. Yeah.
Yes.
Sweaty balls, low energy, late. Oh,
yeah.
It's really good. I love those kind of.
Do you ever like putting your husband's balls in your mouth?
And it felt very lounge, like Vegas lounge,
yes.
Lizard kind of thing.
Yes.
It just didn't pop for me.
Yeah. I think it didn't work for this kind of challenge, especially after the act before you was loud, punchy, quick. And if I'm going to be a nerd some more, it's like playing underneath your intelligence is a really hard thing to do in comedy. And they're like,
yeah,
they're playing underneath,
way below their intelligence level.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. They're so much sharper than that. And so it's a little like sort of disorienting.
Yeah. T. Vantra. But you know they stuck with it, and I gotta live for that.
However, I do think that was some strong character work. I think that the characters were well established, especially Sasha's.
Yes, and the Michelle's ball moment, like that was like, okay, this is again a refillable joke pattern. That's fun. We can mm-hmm. do that. Now, Selena and Mistress Isabel Brooks kind of doing a story hour version of this, where they're talking about hooking up with the same guy, Ignacio. It was too much story.
It was a lot of story, and it wasn't that, you know, I do think you need to leave. Listen, I'm no comedy expert, but knowing that I did win this challenge, what I would have done was leave easier to find breadcrumbs that lead the audience to the Ignacio punchline. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was like the end of the thing, they could have said two different names and it would have been the same payoff, you know?
Probably like, a better payoff.
Yeah.
Because so, we knew it was coming way before.
Yeah, it didn't really work, obviously. And the payoff wasn't even that big of a payoff considering, you know, like I was more interested in the whole, like almost the physicality of it would have worked. Like she was painting this telling the story and sort of painting this picture of this sexual encounter. I would have liked to see her actually acting through those moments more. Mm-hmm. And then we probably would have been able to like say, oh, it's so funny when she's bent over, she gets on her hands and knees. I don't think they did that. You know, she, you know, they,
I would have had more fun with the slut jokes too. I'm sorry, but slut jokes. Say his dick is cheesier than a Taco Bell enchilito. Like, come on.
Yeah, 100%. Like, bring us there. And so we were being led down this dark hallway. We couldn't figure out where we were going.
Yeah. Yeah. T. Vance. So that is really all there is to say. Anything else we need to say on the comedy challenge of it all? I didn't think it was a really strong one, which surprised me.
Who?
I didn't think it was a super strong one. Super strong comedy challenge. Oh.
I think I prefer the roast format.
Agree.
Because it sets up, sort of some guardrails and like, you know, it sort of fine tunes the, you know, the challenge a little bit so that we're all doing the same thing and we all have the same marks to
hit,
you know, and it makes it, and then it's just more formulaic for the girls to, it gives them a formula, you know, follow as opposed to just do anything funny.
I agree. And, you know, obviously you won that challenge. Your joke writing was great. I'm blowing smoke up your ass. But your joke writing was great. But also you have a skill that you can't teach, which is like, does the audience like you? Like the audience has to like you when you're delivering mean jokes. And you really nail that of like, I'm fun and I'm going to say some mean stuff.
Yeah. You know, that was I actually, I realized that. The first thing I said on my in that challenge when I came out, because Farrah was right before me,
right?
Which
let's
is
get this roast to cook in
because I just realized that Farrah was who was after Peppermint, and now she was before me in this challenge. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So Farrah was before me, and I didn't think she did that well of a job, and I was actually like. I was actually being sincere and I was like, thank you, Farrah. It wasn't so good. And like,
right. And it got a laugh.
It got a laugh. And I was like, oh, okay. And the other thing that they did, and I had to rely on my sort of personality or charisma or however you want to call it, is you write your jokes, at least in our season, you wrote your jokes on the cards or like you have to write them on these cue cards and you put them in order. And then they take the cue cards from
Shut
you.
Shut the fuck up.
And they give you the cue cards right before you go out on stage, as you're walking out on stage.
Up.
And surprise, surprise, my cue They're cards were order. Missing in different order. And I was
Shut
like.
Shut up. That is.
They tried to get me, girl, but they didn't get me.
They didn't get me. And then afterwards, when queens freak out, are they just like, oh my God, sorry. Oh my God, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, no one is around to confront when that happens. By then, you're already like on to the next thing.
That
you
is
know, but I'm sure that I mean, so I was only funny. On my season, right? So I'm sure that there's other girls that have been like, "Who the fuck messed with my damn cue cards? I'm a fuck."
I
you
feel
up.
Like you hear them say that on during critiques a bunch. Like, what is
they you? Sometimes it slips through, but they edit that stuff out.
Yeah, T. Fuck. So we're going to talk this runway now. And because we're the only Drag Race podcast, Pep, we either chirp it or burp it. So if you are living, okay. Chirp. If you're not, or you have some constructive feedback, you can burp it. Cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And remember, it's always giving fashion. All of these looks are giving fashion. So
don't set me up.
Don't do it. Categories rip her to shreds. And first we have Marsha giving pageant catastrophe. What do you think?
I actually am going to burp it, but not for the reasons that other people would think. Not because there was already a beauty queen in the thing, which was brought up during the show.
Right.
I actually think that this is, I can't tell what era she's going for. I think she's trying to go for late 70s, early 80s era, like, you know, literally Carrie, you know, sort of vibes. But I think the hair is not the right choice for it. I think that the styling could have been a little bit more, it would have been more effective if she had actually decided to go with 70s, like strictly 70s, mm-hmm. and actually nail that look a little bit more. This just looks like, you know,
mm-hmm. a torn it looks like pageant dress. Quick,
yeah, like it looks like it wasn't that much thought put into it. But I can't really criticize the thought that was put into it because, you know, when we did the Naughty 90s runway, I did just order a pink little thing from Amazon thinking, oh, what is this kind of runway? This ain't going to be no runway. This is going to be just a look that we're going to use in some mini challenge.
Right.
And so they didn't tell us what was a runway and what wasn't.
They love to do that.
Exactly.
Damn, I see. So you were like, fuck, this is a runway? Oh,
I was like, oh my God, it doesn't even fit.
And you have to do like 28 looks. So you're like, well, I can't use this other look. This is my other look for my 28 other looks.
I did not have no other 90. I did borrow somebody's hair.
Work.
For it.
Work. So, okay. It's a little bit of a burp, but we love Marsha. She's so talented. Mm-hmm.
She's adorable.
Lucy LaDuca giving Bram Stoker's Hacula.
I think this is wonderful. I think this is great. I think... horror is a very, there's so many ripped up horror. Like you could have gone vampire, you could have gone zombie, you could have gone, and maybe those things are too obvious. And you know, that's part of the thing you're balancing. You don't want to do something that somebody else is going to do. I know. Cause there was several Madonnas that were in the same outfit in my season.
Controversy.
So, you know, you don't want to do that, but, you know, I think that this was a very smart, this is definitely a chirp for me.
It's a chirp. It's really bold. Lucy takes big swings. The hair's cool. It is scary. God, it's scary. I mean, I guess a part of me wonders if the makeup could have been prettier, but again, I'm not here to judge her drag. It's just, I wonder if it could have been, it's scary and maybe that's what's cool about it.
Yeah, I mean, there are some little details that, I mean, it gets like high. It's really realistic and very convincing and kind of authentic, the hair and the dress. And then the makeup feels a little campy, sort of cartoony, you know.
Yeah.
And especially considering that she didn't paint her, if she had painted her hands the same color as her face, it would have, I think, given it that little sparkle that could have helped. Or she could have just kept it flesh-toned and just been more pale. I don't really know. But it's beautiful work on the dress.
I agree. It's still a chirp. And she took a big swing where some people went kind of safer.
It's a chirp. And it's a very well-done look.
I love. Okay, Lux Noir London giving Wee Wee Paul, giving RuPaul smart. Smart.
Extremely smart to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's just cool. It's kind of like, you know, exaggerated football thing. I don't know what those are called. With the cool,
pads.
Frilly pads. Yeah. It's cool. And the makeup's interesting and funky. I really love it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. This is the second time. I mean, besides I don't really know how they decided this, but besides the Drag Race, like, outfit, from the opening and the statuette that they had to do when they all had to do that look of Rue's, like recreating, I think it was last week.
Yes.
Recreating
yes.
Rue's look from the logo of the show. Besides mm-hmm. that, this is Lux's second RuPaul dress.
Homage.
You know?
Yeah.
Homage.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really interesting, you know, that she, chose that she
smart.
Did this. I think it shows how forward thinking she is, and she's like, you know, thinking she's gonna, you know, pay homage to Rue and really like butter her up.
I mean, to quote Waiting for Guffman, teacher's pet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to be teacher's pet. She's smart, and then fucking Rue cries, so I'm like, clap clap clap, smart.
Yeah, she had an emotional sound in her voice. And she X. did hold a Kleenex.
You can't see this, but I'm putting an X over my mouth. Sasha Colby. Wow.
I love this look. It looks fantastic. It fits her well. It's obviously really complete head to toe. It's very much that Destiny's Child slash Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears early 2000s moment with the denim. But yes. I think the crystals and the diamonds are like just really hit it over the park, knocking out of the park. I think yes. she looks beautiful, and this is a great shredded up look. And it's like probably the most fashion-y shredded up look that I can remember from this runway.
I think you're right. It is stunning. It is ornate. I'm gobsmacked. It is a chirp. She gives such
it's a
unique.
Chirp. It's a I whole mean, her, bunch of baby birds chirping.
Bitch, it's a pandemonium of parrots. Did you know they call a group of parrots a pandemonium?
I'm not sure. I mean, I feel like it would. I feel like that's a fitting name. It seems like that is actually a fitting name because I'm sure that it's just chaotic when all of the colorful birds get flapping around and flying around.
Chaos,
you know,
full chaos. Anitra.
I really do like this look on Anitra. Mm-hmm. It's a chirp. It's a chirp. Nothing's wrong with it. You know, I think it does look good. It certainly fits the bar. It meets the assignment. Mm-hmm. I do think that there maybe might have been other ways to do this. But mm-hmm. you know, it does look really good. It fits her well. It's striking. The colors are very striking.
Yeah, like a forest yeah. green and a pink. Who would have thought that that would work like it is working?
Yeah, and I get the, I guess the whole, is it lotus or whatever flower it was that she was talking about? Yeah. I would have liked to have seen more of that flower implemented, the flower element implemented into it. Because mm-hmm. it does, I don't get any of that, you know?
Yeah, I'm getting chromaticunt more than I'm getting that. But yeah. It looks good. It
especially looks with good. The spacey earring, you know, like yeah. it's very much, I think Lady Gaga actually wore something like on her, you know, Chromatica.
Probably. Yeah. I'll still give it a chirp, but it's a chirp. Yeah, it's not, it's a chirp. Selena Estitis. This is kind of silly. I don't even know what it is.
I don't really remember Selena's look. I'm seeing it, but I don't, it didn't make that much of an impact. And it doesn't really, when I see it, it doesn't really strike like anything. And it's difficult to identify exactly what's going on.
Yeah. What, yeah, I agree. What is the inspiration? Mm-hmm. There's sort of a shawl element. It's sort of a torn up dress. But it kind of just looks like a torn up dress.
Which it is, that it is the thing, but it's not even, I can't tell that it's actually shredded. I don't really know. It's not my favorite. I'm going to have to say burp.
Love her hair. That's fun.
Hair looks beautiful.
Mistress Isabel Brooks giving burnt Marilyn Monroe.
I think that this is really, really thoughtful and really well done. I do wish that the dress would have been, if it's, you know, in fact, did she say it was Marilyn Monroe inspired?
I can't tell if she did or if the judges did.
Right. Well, then, you know, she can't take responsibility for their impression necessarily. But I do think that if it were going to be Marilyn Monroe, this material girls, general prefer blondes dress, then it would have been like longer, you know, because mm-hmm. that dress is a long dress.
Right. That she it wears. Hits the ground.
It hits the ground. I know, because I actually, like, the person who made my dress, her name's Lola in mm-hmm. New York, when I did this look, and Shay also did this look, we wanted to go really authentic with it. And so she was like very much. You know, the bow that is on the back of the dress is actually tilted and off to the side. It's not in the center. Like we replicated the dress, right. You know, piece by piece.
That's so interesting. And that makes sense. And that's, it's so interesting.
But it looks good. And I mean, it's definitely a chirp for me. Like it's a chirp for me.
It's a chirp. It's a chirp. We live. We gotta love it. She always looks great. I don't get... Yeah, okay. There's something I'm confused about, but again, it's fucking great and it's a chirp.
Yeah.
Love. Agreed. So we have Lux Noir London and Lucy LaDuca winning this thing. God bless. God bless. God bless. Lucy will be more, Lucy LaBothered will be a little bit more relaxed next week that she finally got her second win.
It's true. It's true. And I'm happy for her.
Yeah. Do you agree with them winning?
Yeah, you know, I do think that there are lots of examples of queens coming in who are very, very competitive and really focused on that aspect of it. And I, you know, I think I think it's only natural when you're in a situation like this that's high stress and you don't have control over anything, then you really dig in your heels about these little points. Mm-hmm. I do remember on my season, Alexis Michelle had a similar sort of demeanor and outlook. Mm-hmm. Betty, sorry, I don't understand what's happening.
Peppermint was just distracted by a text and it's very funny. And I think, and we're keeping it in. And we're keeping it in.
Oh, they were last night. Sorry. I got it. It was weird. It was weird. I'm here. I think that you can get distracted with those sort of things. Yes. But she, you know, she is extremely, I would say she's in my top three for the season, for sure. She's very well, extremely well, high-performing drag.
She's talented. And
she knows what she's doing.
She's talented. Mm-hmm. They're going to keep giving her the I'm plucked edit because that's the show likes to do that.
Yeah, but I wish that she would allow her talent to speak for itself.
Yeah. It's, yep. She's letting the psychological experiment get to her. And I'm sure the producers love that. They love it. And I think she said herself, with the whole, wins thing, sometimes they tell you to say you have three wins in a confessional.
Oh, did she say that?
She did say that. She said that the producers were like, say this, and she said it. And then people are, saying oh, you said that. That's crazy.
Yeah. I was not my producer's favorite person for sure, because they would tell me to say stuff and I was like, I'm not saying that. I played this game so straight as an arrow. Uh-huh. It was, they were not happy.
Well, I love that your talent kept you there, because that could have been, that was a risk you took.
Yeah, it was a risk. It was a risk not to do what they were saying, and I nearly got sent home. I've talked about it a dozen times, mm-hmm. I do believe that that last challenge was designed for me to go home,
Damn. So we're here at the end. Let's talk about it. We have Marsha and Anitra in the bottom and they're going to lip sync to their life to a fucking fun song. I mean, some songs are just more fun. And this song.
Oh my gosh, Doja Cat, come on.
I literally, just when I saw this, I was like, God, I would love to watch Peppermint do this song. I mean, that would be fun.
Yeah, I don't know the words of it right now, but mm-hmm. I mean, I know the song, but I couldn't perform it if you told me to today. But luckily, they give you the songs in advance, and so you have time to study them. In our season, they gave them to us at the beginning of the season. And mm-hmm. some of them, they changed, last minute. But for the most part, you could just listen to it at night when you were in mm-hmm. your room, and then you could, you could become familiar with it. And they give you the lyric sheets and all those things too. So
that's nice.
I think I would like to say I would have done well. I certainly would have been driven enough to do well. Although and this was probably certainly my favorite lip sync of the season so far.
It's amazing.
It was the most
Everyone
competitive
loves it.
Lip sync of the season so far.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was unbelievable. And they were both slaying it. They were both surprising us. They were both hitting the beat, hitting the emotions. And, we have our leaps over
dives
queens.
And leaps and backbends. It was like, oh, wow. And I think that was the moment that Anitra won it for the judges, that she leaped over her.
That is a pretty bad bitch move. That's a bad bitch. She's a boss
it's
bitch.
Very much.
That's what the song is, to be like. Mm-hmm. It's so funny too, because they were living for her exorcist backband, and she said, "No, ma'am. No.
She's
no,
ma'am.
No,
I'll show you something."
Yeah.
And she dove into a somersault and came up head first.
You know,
good
a
job,
lot of
girl.
The good job, girl. You got it. A lot of people on the internet are saying like this was a double save. What do you say
it
to that?
It could have been a double save considering what we've sort of the considering all the other lip syncs that we've seen
yeah.
in the season. This
yeah.
I think was worthy of a double save, but I don't really know. You know, yeah.
I do too. I think it was worthy of a double save, but I think unfortunately they probably decided what they decided about Marsha, who I fucking love as a queen, and I can't wait to see more from her because I think like her talent just exudes off of her, and I'm just mm-hmm. like, we haven't seen all of it on this Drag Race show, but
and you never will. There, I mean, there probably are some girls who that's all they can offer is like whatever they show on the show. But mm-hmm. I do think that most of the girls, especially since, you know, as an entertainer, you live and you grow and you evolve and you learn more skills. And you definitely do hear that at Drag Race that change you. And so, you know, a year after the show, which this is a year after they filmed it, you know, of course, they're going to be so much more diverse and just better entertainers across the board, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's, yeah, the show's not the number one showcase for your talent. You could get some of it in there, possibly, hopefully, but it's never mm-hmm. going to show you as fully three-dimensional as you can be. So Marsha goes home. Ta-ta. We love her. Follow mm-hmm. her. Go support Marsha. Anitra lives to slay another day. Wow. Who might you like to see win this season, Miss Peppermint?
Well, I definitely think it could be between Sasha and Lucy for sure. Anitra mm-hmm. is a dark horse, mm-hmm. In my opinion. I do think that the two front runners are Lucy and Sasha. And then
Mistress is fierce. I kind of want to see her in that final. That would be
yes,
fun. And Lux,
Mistress for sure.
Lux would be fierce.
I mean, yeah, I think what seems like it's shaping up to be a possible top four, especially considering there's only what, six folks left or something, mm-hmm. Is Mistress and Mistress, Lux, Sasha, and Lucy. Are who seem to be emerging based on this edit
right.
As the front runners for top four. If they have yeah. a top four, which I pray that they don't. I don't really know. Like, I think they should go back to having a top three, allowing them to perform a song that they had prepared mm-hmm. so that everyone has their own moment to shine.
Tea.
And then just crowning them based on that. You know, why do they have to keep fighting?
yeah, fighting for this win. I know, you obviously were the first season to have that format. And it was a gag for us, though. I mean, we loved watching your talents.
I mean, it was lovely and it was a gag, but like now it's expected. And when the girls are coming in with like obvious props and saying, who do you think I'm going to be in the top four? It's just, mm-hmm. it's too expected. And having a top four as the finale is the only way you can have a top four is if you do have a sort of tournament style performances yeah. like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, it makes sense to have a top three.
I know. And certainly not top five. We did top five last year and I am no. Five is not a top. No.
Yeah. We don't want to see a 2-hour finale with a bunch of lip syncs.
Girl, a top five is only the name of a porn video. It should not be our yes. Drag Race finale. Peppermint, remind us where we can support you.
Well, quite literally, since I'm not working the entire, since November through whatever the month is now through April, people should go and just send me a Venmo. Send
Hell
me
yeah.
a whatever.
What's your Venmo?
Yeah, people. It's Peppermint247, just like all of my social media, mm-hmm. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Peppermint247. And that's where people can keep up with all of those things. And I try my best to use my platform to benefit our community. I'm constantly trying to figure out ways to help spread the word about protecting folks in our community while also trying to deliver some entertainment. It is a heavy job, but I like to do it. And so, yeah, that's where people can find me. You can also find out about what other projects I'll be doing there, you know. think work. Whatever I got going on.
We'll put those links below in the pod app.
Ow!
Peppermint, you're fucking unbelievable and amazing and gorgeous and stunning and funny. And I am so glad we got to meet today. And if you like Drag Her Podcast, follow us at Drag Her Podcast on Instagram. Give us a review on the Apple Podcast. Honey, it keeps the lights on. It keeps us chug-a-lug-a-lugging along. It makes me happy. It makes me, dare I say, titillated. Like this one from Adam Reyna. It says 5 stars. Mono Agapian is the queer representation that we need. That's very kind. I have listened to this show since the very beginning, and it's always been hilarious. This recap podcast often has queens like Nicole Byer, Meatball, and Oscar Montoya. And if you don't listen, you're a big old dum-dum. Couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you. Thank you, bitch. Thank you for listening. Well, till next time, let the music play.
Gorgeous.
Was a HeadGum original.